Hello and welcome to Shield Up, your Patreon exclusive podcast from RKG. Today it is Gavin Krupa solving your problems, reading out some updates, and just generally having a lovely time. How are you doing, Daniel?
I am good. Oh, I had a little bit of a tummy pain earlier, but I feel better now.
Did a big shit.
Yep. I wasn't going to say that. Basically, you unravel my euphemism.
I'm listening. I'm like Kelsey Grammer on that show.
Did that happen a lot in episodes? Like, pretty sure I just had a massive shit.
I feel like that was half the problem. So he just says to them, yes, that's really good, but have you tried having a massive shit? Because that usually does the trick for Niles and Daphne, and then afterwards it's all good. So try having a massive shit. If it's still bad, give me a ring tomorrow.
I need to watch more of that show.
I didn't know for years that all the people ringing in were like actually quite famous people.
Yeah, there was like the way it was like some cameos, guest stars. Yeah,
yeah. What was like some of the people? So Bess Frazier, guest stars, right? On the phone.
I tell you what, that's an easy turn, isn't it?
Yeah, just ringing them up. I bet that's a good laugh as well. The callers. Here we go. Oh, this is great. Gillian Anderson, Kevin Bacon, Halle Berry, Matthew Broderick, Mel Brooks, Cindy Crawford, Billy Crystal, John Cusack, Jeff Daniels, Laura Dern, David Duchovny, Carrie Fisher, Jodie Foster, Art Garfunkel, Linda Hamilton, Daryl Hannah, Ed Harris, Ron Howard, Stephen King, Ray Liotta, John Lithgow, Malcolm McDowell, John McEnroe, Helen Mirren, Bill Paxton, Christopher Reeve, Gary Sinise, Ben Stiller, John Turturro, Eddie Van Halen, and Elijah Wood.
And every single one of them just needed a big shit.
The problems they recounted were often related ironically to their public persona. Superman star Reeve, for instance, expressed a fear of flying. That's pretty good.
There you go.
In this article as well, it goes on to say like about the people who played themselves in Cheers showing up in Frasier.
See, that's more distracting though. Do you also know about the incongruity between Cheers and Frasier?
Was it that he told everyone that his dad was dead?
Yeah, he was dead. I don't think he had a brother.
That's fucking disgusting, saying that your dad is dead. Just because, he's a cop and a little bit rough around the edges.
No, I think it's literally a case because he didn't exist. And they've retconned it.
So, but did they do an episode in Frasier, though, where someone turns up and is like...
Yeah, because they've had to explain it.
You told me your man was dead.
And it's like playing it in a kind of meta way, where it's like...
But that's the thing, though.
They know it's going to be a spin-off.
That's the thing. At the time, when he said in Cheers, he didn't know it was going to be a Frasier. So when they have to deal with it then in Frasier, it actually makes him feel quite bad. Because, all right, he's not like Frasier, but...
But the thing is, though, Frasier is not very Frasier in Cheers.
Yeah.
He's in a sports bar all the time drinking beer.
Drinking pints,
The Frasier in Frasier is a very different character.
Mm.
So that's also incongruous.
Which is kind of strange, isn't it? Because, like, you establish this character and then you spin him off and go, actually, no, it's going to be a completely different thing.
You just like the premise of the character rather than the actual character or the actor.
Do you know, I know, like, obviously we don't know because we don't work at that level of, like, movie production.
Whoa,
like that,
whoa. You seen that plane video? You seen that class video? You shut your mouth.
But like, you know when people are like, oh, why are they making a remake? Why are they doing a sequel? Why are they doing a reboot and stuff like that?
Bankable.
I wonder if like get people knowing something really is that bankable. So like with something like Cheers, them going, right, it's from Cheers, I absolutely love sitcom. It's going to be a completely different character, but we'll get them in the door and then we'll do whatever we want.
I think that's 100% reason.
It's mad.
Same with that. So it's like, if you're risking hundreds of millions with a movie, why would you risk it? You would go for the surest bet, wouldn't you?
Yeah. That's the thing is, like, with that, I haven't watched it because it looks fucking joyless, but Fast and the Furious, Hobbs and Shaw. Like, I've heard lots of stuff about that being, like, it's not about them. They could be called anything.
Yeah,
it's not connected to the Fast and the Furious world at all, but they just go, no, it's part of the Fast and the Furious franchise, so it's fine.
So it's fine.
There was always that big thing about that. Like, I think lots of the original cast kicked off, and Vin Diesel even posted one saying that they all promised that they would never do spin-offs. like they'd never do it without each other. And they promised Paul Walker that, apparently. So they were all extra gutted when The Rock and Statham were just like, yeah, fuck it, let's just do that.
Also, I love that. It's like, you promise you won't do a spin-off without me. Do you understand what a spin-off is, mate?
Yeah. If we're going to do a spin-off without you, but we might as well just do Fast 20.
You can't be in all the spin-offs.
Yeah. But yeah, there we go. I still haven't watched that. I've got no rush to watch.
Got
it
no
anyway.
Cause to.
No, got no cause to. We've got some lovely stuff coming our way right now, including this one. It says, "Hey boys, want to let you know that some advice you gave me a few months ago has really helped me during lockdown. Someone had asked for a scheme to keep some neighbors' kids quiet whilst they worked from home. Do you remember this?"
Mm-hmm.
I mean, this is actually months ago now. Oh, God. "I have a 2-year-old boy called Otis. Hi, Otis. And like any kid that age, he can be a proper noise machine when he wants to be. And at bedtimes, he can have a bit of a cry. We've all been there. This had led to our neighbours banging on the walls and us being told we have ruined their lives with Otis's noise. This has had a real effect on me," I think it probably would, "and my other half, and made me question any noise we made. This was especially horrible during lockdown when we couldn't leave the house.
Oh, yeah.
Your advice, being so supportive of the kids, especially from a non-biased, non-parent point of view, put things into perspective and made us both feel so much better. Since then, I have spoken to our neighbours and we have sorted things out, but your advice gave me the courage to do so." I think ruined their lives. Like, they said that this little baby has ruined their lives. Like, what unless, like, they are...
You got to be a particular type of prick to say that.
I think so, yeah. And also, it's like, what have they got going on in their life? You're not fucking Captain America.
These people obviously like moaning about stuff. You've given them a reason to moan, so therefore you've given them a reason to live.
Also, fucking morons as well. It's like, because if a kid is crying and then they just hear, like, loads of banging on the thing, that's going to make them cry more.
The thing is, a monster in the walls.
That's insane. What a ridiculous thing. Anyway, so he says, "Anyway, on to the advice bit. My other half, Jade, isn't into games and she only sees them as they were back in 2D platforming days. The last game she played was Alex the Kid. Do you have any game suggestions for a non-gamer? Something with a good story that isn't 50 hours would be best. Thank you so much. Love what you guys do, and I'm not really, even though I'm not a real huge gamer anymore. Keep up the amazing work." Well, Alex Kidd is coming back. You see that? That was announced at one of the Festival of Games, Summer of Games, Games people, Games. Basically, instead of doing E3 where you got 6 days of it, we've had 3 months of it. Of just like trailers every day.
Instead of Glastonbury, we've had a concert in every village hall.
Yeah. But yeah, Alex the Kid was one of the announcements for that.
I'm back, and everyone's like, "Yeah, right.
Well done, well done." But that was—I think Alex Kidd was one of the first games I ever properly played on Master System, because it was that thing where a Master System came with a game inside it. So I had Alex Kidd in that, which is really, really good. I think we talked about this slightly before, but I feel like I'm gonna get Clara onto Firewatch because I've only ever played that once all the way through, so I'm going to do that. So you could try with Firewatch, What Remains of Edith Finch, I think she would really like
Journey.
You're looking for the story stuff. Journey,
you've got your Journey, you've got Brothers, A Tale of Two Sons.
Yeah,
you got
loads
all those
of stuff.
You got those
all those.
Those are all nice and short, story driven, easy to play.
Yeah, Portal is a really good one as well.
Good puzzle game.
Like, because even though that's story-based, but also it's a proper game where you're actually doing stuff and not just walking around reading fucking diaries and shit. Also a game. They can be games if they want.
Anything's a game these days.
Exactly, mate. Exactly. Fucking hell.
What's this? I made it. What is it? Is it a game? Yeah. It's whatever you say it is.
Has it got a gun? No. Not a game. Get it out of my sight.
Have you seen Call of Duty? That's a fucking game. I say.
Oh, that's a. Has he got a shotgun? No.
Has he got
out of my sight?
If he hasn't got an M4, get out my face. He's got a scarf.
But yeah, no, I'm glad we helped you with your baby problem though, because
it's like you're having a go at the problem. So. Oh, your little baby problem.
Yeah, your baby problem. It's hard when you have a baby, and I feel like that baby doesn't want to be crying. That baby would rather not be upset and crying.
It'd rather be able to articulate what it wants to give it happiness.
Must be frustrating as fuck.
It probably babies don't want to be sitting in their own shit.
Yeah. I was talking to my mate earlier, and he was like, because we were just making plans to see each other, and he was like, look, the only thing is, and this has happened with a few of my friends actually, where before meeting up, they've gone, right, this is where, this is what we're doing socially distance wise. This is what we're doing lockdown wise. We're wearing a mask for this. We're not doing this, but we are doing this.
This is my rule set.
These are my rules, yeah. So I got text from my mate Steve just saying, I was meeting him and he said, just so you know, we are social distancing, so no human touching, but we are touching dogs, so let Coco know. I was like, right, I'll let her know, yeah.
What, does she get to say?
Nah, yeah. She doesn't get to say at all. But yeah, he was, my mate with a baby, he was like, we're organising to see each other. He was like, yeah, just letting you know though, obviously, like, we've stopping the baby from going up to people now, like, so he doesn't really socially distant, like, we should, but it was kind of like, I feel like it was cooking his head a little bit, so we just kind of take him away from people rather than go like, Luke, no, don't do that, don't do that, don't
shepherd
that.
Him
yeah, so shepherd him away. But he was like, when he sees you, he probably will get really excited, so I don't know what to do. You'll have to deal with that in your own way. And I was like, okay, fine, okay,
spray him.
I've got, yeah, boot him. But yeah, I've got a couple of days to stew.
You seen the end of Rogue Nation where that Perspex wardrobe just comes down on Tom Cruise? You could do that to him, just like,
poof. Yeah,
I mean, it's cruel, but and it's also difficult to stage.
Yes, that is true, actually. Here we go then, this is a nice one. It's kind of an update on do you remember the other couple of episodes ago we were talking about beer foraging and the guy found the beers in the park, yeah. And we were saying whether or not we thought it was minging or fair play. So this guy says, a quick note on the subject of beer foraging. I tend to find and forage a lot of stuff in my life, to the point my wife will sometimes say, don't bring home any trash, if I'm on my way out. One time on the way to the gym, I saw a perfectly good orange on a bench. On my way home, the orange was still there, so I picked it up and put it in my lunch for the next day. During lunch, I shared the orange with a co-worker, and when he said, this is a really good orange, where did you get it? I told him I found it near the gym. He basically levitated, spit the orange out, and still holds a grudge to this day. I still laugh at his reaction, but I guess I understand his position. Hope you're all doing great. Thanks for all you do. P.S. You forever changed the Prince song 1999 for me, the first line of which is, I was dreaming when I wrote this. That's a lovely story. It feels like you live in a really lovely world as well. As like, he's like, going to the gym, didn't pick it up on his way to the gym, just thought to himself, that orange is there on the way.
That's
back.
That's a gentleman's etiquette there. So it could, yeah. It's somebody who could have just been resting it there.
It is a similar argument with the orange as it is to the beer, because the orange is encased and you don't eat the skin, you just eat what's inside it. I would feel weird about eating an orange. I feel more weird about eating the orange than I would about drinking the beer, I think.
Is that because you feel like the skin is more permeable?
Yes.
I think that's maybe a little psychological peculiarity of the orange opposed to the beer glass.
And I just feel like more germs are getting involved with it. You could have washed it, but I feel like more germs are getting involved than a bottle which is sealed.
But I would also... This is the thing. The way that he's showed it with this guy is a perfect psychological experiment. Because the guy even said it was a good orange. Not just like, it was like, it was a great orange. You're saying like sitting on the bench, it is soaking up germs. But just think about the journey of any fruit or vegetable in a supermarket, transportation. That's sitting on loads of surfaces, handled by loads of people. Is that any less or more dirty than a bench?
True. I don't think... As much as I do enjoy fruit, and I would compliment fruit, and I compliment my own fruit all the time, I don't think I would ask where they got it.
Someone was maybe you meant like the provenance. So it's like, Sainsbury's, Tesco.
Because the odds of you getting another one that tastes exactly like it are going to be quite...
Yeah. What variety is this?
Yeah, it's weird. Like, if you're betting like, I got it from the shop down the road, you'll be like, right, well, that is where I'm getting 100% of my oranges from now on.
Also, I think people rarely have an orange. Orange is a fucking pain in the arse. You'd go for your more segmented, wouldn't you? Like, that's more easy.
I don't like them. I don't get it. But Clara's banging to oranges.
I love like tangerines and sashimi. It's just easier.
Yeah. But yeah, now and again, she will cut up an orange and bring it into the living room for me and stuff, which is really nice.
The one like, the one from the bench?
Yeah, she meets me after football and brings it around.
Some jelly babies, isn't there?
I don't know if I would eat her. I don't know if I would pick up an orange and eat her, be honest.
What about a kebab from behind a gutter?
Is it right? Is it any... As you say, though, you know when you say, like, is any different? At our studio... On Mondays, we get free fruit.
You have no idea where any of that's been.
Yeah, exactly. I have no idea
where like, the back rooms, you know, like your local Tesco is one of the worst Tescos we've ever been in. Imagine the state of their storeroom where all this stuff is. Yeah. Or any supermarket, like all the trucks that all this stuff is slinged around on. They're not going to be, like, super hygienic.
I like in America where they have those fridges that you fill from the back.
Yeah.
Those are amazing.
And one person has to be in prison behind them.
Yeah. There's a really good little B story in a Bob's Burgers episode where Tina falls in love with a guy. I think it's actually voiced by Ben Schwartz. And she falls in love with a guy in front of the glass because she gets to sneak up around behind the glass. I'd love that. I think that'd be quite good.
Like in a French supermarket, all the fruit and veg usually has like a mister on it.
Oh,
so it's like sprayed and stuff.
Sexy fruit, because France is
an inherently sexy country.
It really is. I do like that we've ruined that Prince song for him as well.
Yeah, also this involves benches. It's the perfect story.
Yeah, it's a good story, isn't it? I was in Minnesota. Did you know this thing about Prince, that he used to just host these legendary parties at his mansion? It would just be a monthly party at his house, and he would host it, and it was a public party, and people could come. I think people could just turn up to it as well, from what people were saying.
Not just famous people.
No, not just famous people. Any Minnesotans could just turn up, queue up, and sometimes you got in, sometimes you didn't. But apparently, they went on for like. It was going on for so many years that it wasn't like a special thing anymore. Like people had been multiple times because it was all the time he used to do it. And during his final ever party, I was in Minnesota, so I could have gone, but I didn't know about that the parties even existed until way after he died.
I would love it if you went and like the numbers had really dropped off. It was just you and Prince.
Yeah, it's you're boring. Like, it's just him walking around with cheese and pineapple and sticks.
It's like, do you want me to play your song? Yeah. Yeah, right.
I was there for a wedding, and then I was really close to his house as well because we went to see Father John Misty because he was playing there. And in my head, I missed out on a night of partying with Prince when I'm sure the reality is very, very different to that. Because I probably would have turned up these and be like, no, absolutely not. John Travolta can come
in. It's like you have to be a Minnesotan. I need to see a valid library card. That's how you get in.
And he's like, no, get out of my sight.
What time of year did you go to Minnesota? Was it winter? Or was it like something?
It was cold.
Was it snowy?
April. I went. It was cold, but it wasn't snowy.
Right, okay.
But I think if we could have got stuck in snow because we were going to drive basically to the Paul Bunyan statue that's in Fargo. But it's fucking yonks away from where we were staying, and someone did say you really got to be careful because it will be snowy. It will be snowy up there. So, and we've all seen the documentary Fargo. You do get lost.
Yeah, loads of manner of wild stuff happens.
Exactly.
Is Paul Bunyan the guy that you dressed up as at Halloween?
I've dressed up as the zombie one, zombie Paul Bunyan from it. Yeah, but yeah, that's him. There you go. There you go. On the subject of babies-ish. Hi guys, Primordial Slug here. For some background, my wife and I have been married for 3 years and we are both 30. We have a great relationship and we travel as much as we can. We both agree that right now we don't want to have children because of the travel and financial freedom it provides us. But we want to have kids in the future. ... Or do we? We both grew up assuming we would have children someday. I think we all do. We had planned to have kids after marriage when we hit 29 and then we hit 30. But at each point when we sat down to discuss, we both thought it would be better to push it off until later. The issue is we feel pressure from society and we get the when are you having kids question from friends and family a lot. We also don't want to miss out on anything. Will 40-year-old us regret not having kids earlier? Will our lives feel hollow later in life without children? All this has been causing a strain on our relationship for a while. We've decided for now to assume that we will not have children in the future and tell others that when asked. Obviously, we could always change our mind in the future. This is just a very big question, and I would like to hear your thoughts. Another quick question. I have an older cousin who is married. They do not have children, and I don't think they plan to. How would you approach them to try and talk about this subject? I would like their insight or advice, but I don't want to be too insensitive because it may be their choice. It may be their choice, or there could be fertility issues. Thank you guys for what you do, and yes, I'm wanking into a cup while I was writing this so I can freeze it for the future. Lot going on there, mate. Lot going on. I don't know. You seem like you're pretty happy, so I don't like. No, I'm not saying that people have children because they're not happy. I feel like if you're relatively happy with how your life is going, you know, I don't think there's any need to derail it or anything by having a child. Okay. It sounds like you're really happy, so I wouldn't second guess yourself so much.
I saw a post in the rounds of the day that I think is good, because a lot of the images we grew up being surrounded by and expectations are things that made sense decades ago. Yeah. And you should normalize figuring out what you want to do in your 20s, should normalize finding love in your 30s, should normalize doing things in your 40s. Like, it's not like then you stop being a person and you become a parent. And if you want to do stuff, you don't feel any social pressure to have kids. Enough people are having kids. The race will go on. Don't worry about it. But on the flip side, I guess the only thing he's possibly thinking about is that note of like, will we regret this?
Yeah.
I think that kind of applies to anything in life.
It applies to anything.
You might, because to make a decision that is a binary one, to like choose to do something and not do something, you're going to feel that even if you do the reverse. Like, will you regret having kids? You won't, of course not, because you'll love them. But you might think they're little shits. But you might go,
you might,
even if you have kids, going, oh, like, we had a great life and stuff. And I think in the next 10, 20 years, it's going to be increasingly normalized not to have kids. So those questions will stop. Doesn't mean that doesn't apply to this generation or our generation.
No, it doesn't, I think it's hard, isn't it? Because you just, like, Clara and I obviously talked about it a little bit. And I think, like, I'd love to have children. I think we both would have a nice time. But I also feel like I'm having a good time doing what I'm doing. And I just don't know where a looking after a child fits into how I enjoy my life right now. So that's why I've just decided right now that I'm not bothered. But I also, I come from quite a chilled out family as well, and no one really asks, like, ooh, when you get married, when you're having kids. And I've been out with girls in the past who had less chilled families, and they'd be like genuinely some of their family used to, like, I was with a girl for a year and a half, and her auntie was like, I can't believe he hasn't proposed yet, and was like actually a prick to me about it. I was just like, fucking, are you all right? Also, have you met her? She's a twat. No.
Marry that.
Are you off your head? It's like, I won't be here next year, let alone marry to her. But I think...
You fucking marry her.
it's hard, isn't it? Because a lot of people, you know, a lot of people feel a lot of pressure because a lot of people around them are having children. Especially like from where we grew up as well. It's like, I'm sure it's the same for you, but back in Wales, like, there was a group of us who were, there was like 14 of us in a group, and at university, four of us are it's only four of us who haven't had children. So there's the way that we all interact has changed a lot, because, you know, 10 years ago, we'd all be going out and get off our heads for a weekend. Whereas now everything's a lot more chilled. We have a lot of Sunday lunches.
A lot more cowpot.
We have a lot of cottages away for the weekend. Things like that.
I would also say, in terms of things and values changing and expectations being recalibrated, is if you don't have kids now, they just said they turn 30. It's still increasingly acceptable for you to have kids in your 40s. And it's not like a stigmatized thing. So it's not like you have to make a cut off very soon in your intention to have a child. I remember being a kid at school, and my parents were quite old compared to other people's parents, but they're actually not at all by any contemporary standard.
No.
So I think that's, like, not a thing. So you could have kids in your 40s still.
Yeah, I think, like, obviously for men and women, it gets, I think it does get increasingly harder. But
especially for women, you become in a higher risk group and it's hard. But still, it's still very possible.
I did. We started because we've had this conversation, Clara and I. So we actually started looking into it. And a lot of the studies, because I in my head it was always just an accepted thing, like women, when it's dangerous for women to get pregnant when they're older. So I actually, when you start actually looking into it, and don't take anything that I say, obviously, you please do your own research and things like that. There's lots of people out there that are like that. All of those ideas are based on such old research that you really have to look into it yourself. And I think like every single person is very different. Like some people find it very easy later on in life to have children without any complications at all. So I wouldn't like, I don't like the idea that this, oh, we need to have a baby before this age because our biological clocks are ticking.
Yeah.
To borrow a phrase.
Also, all medical statistics are en masse by the population at large. So they go, oh, you're at increased risk. What's the increased risk? 0.5% across 60 million people. It's like, well, it's quite low risk then, isn't it? But yeah, depends how you frame statistics.
Yeah, that's like, oh, you can't, you shouldn't use your mobile phone petrol station because it's like a 0.001% chance.
Yeah, I've got more chance of being hit by a rocket launcher. What?
Yeah.
Like, what's your base? What's your comparison? Oh, it's more likely to win the lottery. I'll take my chances.
Also as well, like, you shouldn't feel any pressure from any family or stuff like that. It's like, because that's definitely not a reason to have a baby.
I mean, they're not looking after it.
No. They'll just be having a nice time when you bring around for Sunday lunches.
And that's the thing. You also, if you did never... I think that's the thing. I think there's an old-fashioned notion of... one, it was the thing to be done, but then also very much people thinking that the only way to have fulfillment later in life is to have kids. There's lots of ways that you can give your life meaning and fulfillment. It could just be your partner. That could be enough quite easily and do amazing things together. Like, there's lots of ways to happiness, I think.
I guess like, that's the thing, isn't it? Like, you don't want to... Like, when people are like, oh, you don't want to feel like you're without children, your lives are going to be hollow later in life. But I think like, that's such a wild way of thinking, where you just be like, well, I'm still going to be into stuff. I'm still going to...
Also, if you do feel hollow, just fill that with all the fucking money you have.
Yeah.
You've saved.
That's the thing. It's really hard. Like I've got friends who have children and stuff like that. And like lockdown has been a fucking living nightmare for them because they're not just it's Clara and I are like locking down. We're hanging out a lot, and then I come into the studio in my little home studio to do work, and then at the end of the day we hang out and we have dinner together and. Nobody is asking me to do anything, and no one is asking me to feed them except for Coco, and she's absolutely fine. I think like,
and she's not a minger.
I'm right now. I'm glad that I don't have children, and I don't envy people who do, and I sympathize with people who do, because I think right now it must be fucking solid. So just feel smug about that if you want to know. Like I don't envy people at all. I'm immensely impressed by anybody who's managed to navigate all of this with children, because I just, what are you telling them? I'd just be afraid I'd shit them up.
I think I'd start using the phrase the old world.
Yeah.
I'd be using that a lot. In the old world, we used to go to Tesco's together.
One of my mates from uni, they've got a little girl who's 2, and the other night my friend, she put the baby to bed, was going downstairs, later on went upstairs to go to the toilet, and she could hear the baby crying, but like it can talk and shit. So she went in and she was just like just crying by herself, and she's a really sensitive kid, she's so sweet. And she went and said, oh, what's wrong? And she was crying. It was when Boris Johnson had gone into hospital. And she was like, oh, I just hope Boris Johnson's okay. And they were just like, I can't believe we fucking raised a Tory in this house.
They beat her out.
As I say, my friends were... annoyed and disgusted with her own child, but also it's such a sweet thing that she was just like, I hope he's okay. And she's just sitting there. I'm just like, but how do you explain to a baby, you know, like we're in a pandemic and stuff? The same as like what I was saying about my mate's kids, like, just so you know, he doesn't know what social distancing is because he's fucking two.
How do you explain to a kid that an important man isn't necessarily a good man?
Yeah. And also as well, it's like with the social distancing stuff, how, like, the kid doesn't understand you. So last week he was running at the strangers in the park saying hello, like getting picked up and shit like that. Now he can't do any of that.
I would I'd probably do clicker training.
Yeah.
In some little treats.
Baby must be so confused though.
Yeah.
I always think that as well when like kids get ill. Like, kids get chicken pox. Be like, what the fuck is this?
Will there be studies in, like, 50 years' time about the kids that were raised through a critical developmental stage during lockdown? Like, a generation that doesn't know how to hug.
Yeah, that could happen.
That's going to be someone's dissertation in 50 years' time.
Friends of mine, and I did think there was some truth to this, right? But friends of mine had babies. One of them was four. When his little sister was born, the little boy, he was born in the summertime, right? And he was happy. He was always bright. He was never grizzly. The little girl was born in winter, and she was quite grizzly. And they were just like, "Ugh, winter baby, isn't it? I wish she'd been born in the summer." And I was like, "Do you generally think that that's a real thing?" No. They were like, no, it's because she was, you know, when she first came out, it was always really cold and stuff. And I was like, no, I don't think that's right.
It's not like one of those alien eggs you put in the airing cupboard. Also, there's a very crucial point where if you develop that pattern and you're saying it around them all the time, you fulfill that destiny.
Absolutely. But also as well, it's like, I feel like kids and animals can pick up on weird stresses and shit like that. So if you're acting like a maniac, then the people around you might also act like a maniac. Then your kids end up being little maniacs. You don't want that. You don't want to raise a maniac. Do you? Hopefully not. I don't want that to happen. But which baby problem was that? This is about having babies, right?
Oh, we have to explain it.
I honestly, there was another quick question. Sorry, they said they have an older cousin who is married. They do not have children. How would you approach them and try to talk about this subject? Well, I feel like after what we've just done for you, you don't need to.
Yeah.
And I think if you're worried, I feel like if you're worried about upsetting them, the best way of doing it is to not talk to them about it. Because then, guess what? You'll never upset them because you'll never have to cross that bridge. So I would just not bother, because what's the best thing you're getting from that conversation?
Almost like you want them to say, I really regret it more than anything we've ever done.
Yes.
It's like you want to offload your decision onto someone else, I guess. That's the intriguing thing about asking someone in a similar situation. You want to go, oh, what do you think? But I think it's the decision that you have to come to alone. And I think you have all the information available. It's just, one, you don't even have to decide right now. No. Early 30s, you don't have to decide right now.
Fuck that, yeah.
There's plenty of time to change your mind.
Both in our 30s, that's what we're at.
What's your cutoff?
But this is the thing, I feel like, I think there is definitely some truth in what Daniel just said. And I do think that if you're basing your entire thing on children, on just some other people, the answer is probably do not have children. I think. But yeah, there's no rush, man. I just wouldn't rush into it. And I just chill out. Get a dog. They're cool. But they are hard work, so that's fine. I think we've answered that pretty well.
Yeah.
To be fair, I think that's pretty good.
we got another baby one.
No more baby ones. Unfortunately, that's it. That's it. We've answered them all for this week. So we've had baby updates, orange man, and baby problem. So there you go. More babies, more problems. Hopefully, that's answered some of your.
I love it. If what's actually solved the problem is just hearing you say more babies, more problems. They're like, that's true. Oh, do you hear that? Definitely should have
no
them.
Babies, no problems. So
I reckon no babies.
Like the song says. There you go. But yeah, thank you very much for sending in all of your problems and lovely stories. If you want to get in touch with us, it's bit.ly/shieldup with a capital S and a capital U. And we'll see you next week.